Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the invitation to come, the hospitality. You've been so kind, and we thank the Lord for that. And it is a joy to have our family here. Amen. I always tell people, amen, it may have some ways hindered me in the ministry, but I've always told them, amen, we come as a package deal. You get me, you get all of us. And the package has expanded over the years, amen. But it has been a blessing, amen, to travel for the Lord over these years. Some of my kids, that's pretty much all they know, is that we've been traveling, especially the girls. And I thank the Lord for that. Appreciate my wife. I tell you what, God's given me a wonderful, wonderful wife. Y'all pray that God would give her a better husband. And I'm the only one she's got. I'm her favorite. And so y'all pray that God would make me a better husband. Amen. I want to be a better husband, and I need a lot of work, as all of us do. And so pray God would help us, amen, for the God's glory. We do pray, trust it, and pray that you would pray for us, that God would use us in the ministry of evangelism. Now, not to say that I'm different than anybody else, but I evangelize anywhere. I do street ministry, amen. And I go to festivals, a lot of them in North Carolina, that I go to the Apple festivals and pass out Bible tracts and street preach and try to get the Word of God out. That's evangelism, amen? And evangelism many times has morphed into something that I don't know is exactly. I'm not saying it's not scriptural, but evangelism is heralding the gospel. And so you find places that you can get the gospel out, amen? And so we preach at racetracks. I'm not talking about forsaking the local church and stuff like that. I don't do that. But I've preached many, many times at Bristol Motor Speedway. That's in my back door. And I go there and try to reach some of those drunks for Jesus. Amen. Not all of them are drunk, but most of them are. And so we try to go and preach the Word of God. So pray that God would help us. And then I'm in revival efforts and Bible conferences. And God is so gracious to us. For many years, I'm starting my 20th year on the radio. I've been preaching on the radio about ever since that I've been preaching on other people's broadcasts. And I'm working on 29 years of ministry in the Lord's work. But I've been on a local radio station, amen, starting my 20th year. And I enjoy radio preaching, amen. I've done that for many years and felt led and asked Pastor Hawkins years ago if I could purchase some radio time and represent the Lord in our local church. And we do encourage you. You'll hear many of the messages here on WSOF. And I try to give people ample time. I purchase sometimes week-long on the radio broadcast. I can't do a week-long broadcast. I work a full-time job, and I'm full-time ministry, so I'm double-time. Amen? And so, hallelujah. But I do try to give people ample time when I'm on weeks at a time, amen, out there. And I'll purchase for a special rate, and I'll be on all week long. I've tried to do that over years and make announcements of that. And so maybe you want to join us some weeks. We'll have old time singing. Some of the people from our local churches and friends help us with old time singing. Then we preach a radio revival all throughout the week, old fashioned preaching that'll challenge your heart. So listen there and try to tune us in on WMCH Radio, where I'm on locally. And I appreciate the opportunity to represent the Lord and the local church here at WSOF. And so tune in the broadcast if you have opportunity. And we'll either bless you, amen, or we'll bless you one or the other. Amen, guaranteed. Hallelujah. And so I thank the Lord for that. Well, what a blessing it is to be here. Thank you for the meals. We enjoyed the men's fellowship and the hamburgers and hot dogs. And man, I tell you, just a blessing. And then the meal today, what a blessing. And I'm going to have some fellowship after service, and so thank God for that. And so let's look in the Word of God, and I trust the Lord will help us. Appreciate the singing, buddy. That was a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. And I thank God for all that singing. I appreciate that. Thank God for that. Appreciate you, Brother Shepherd, and all God's done here through you and the church here, and thank God for you. Let's look in Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 18. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast suffered that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her a space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, as I have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Father, we do ask you, Lord, that you would help us now to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to each heart. Encourage this pastor, help this pastor, help this church. Save the lost, revive the saints. Lord, we do pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Years ago, I preached messages about the seven churches in the book of the Revelation on the radio. I have alluded to some of those messages over the years that I have preached, and preach different thoughts out of these messages. Probably need to find all those messages again. That's a lot of meat, amen, in these seven churches of the book of the Revelation. Each of these churches, of course, have an historical aspect. These were literal churches, amen, in Asia Minor. These were literal churches that had people, amen, pastors, as it were, and God reckoned them and accounted them as candlesticks, amen. And God used these pastors in these churches to propagate the gospel, amen. God also, amen, not only has a historical aspect, but I believe these churches represent certain church periods of time. Now, I'm not going to fall out with you like Brother Josh was talking about in Sunday school this morning, amen. But I know we refer a lot of times, or preachers refer a lot of times, that this is the age of grace. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to find out, amen, everybody got there by grace, amen. In every age, we're going to be praising the Lord for His grace. But literally, this is, if we want to be technical about it, from what I study from the Scripture, the church age. Amen. The church age. And the next thing that's going to take place, amen, we have chapter 2 and chapter 3 that begins with the church of Ephesus, ends with the church of Laodicea, and then chapter 4, we find a door open, and there were as a voice, amen, saying, come up hither, and that is a picture of the rapture of the church. Now, I don't want to get bogged down here. I've got friends times that, listen, friend, maybe even listen to this message, and I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm going to tell you the next event on God's prophetic time calendar, amen, is the rapture of the church. The church is not going through the tribulation, amen. God's not going to use the tribulation to purify the church, those that are worldly and wayward, amen. Everybody saved by the grace of God is going to be raptured out when God calls forth His bride. Amen. And that's the next event that's going to happen. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that. We talked about that. We're going to be gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, so each of these churches represents certain periods of time. You've heard your pastor, no doubt, preach and teach about types and shadows, amen. But each of these church periods, like the church at Ephesus, is during the time of the apostolic church, amen. And listen, now we're in the days, amen, for the most part, of the church at Laodicea. We're neither hot nor cold. We're just kind of lukewarm, amen. And it makes God sick. Yes, sir, amen. And so it represents certain church periods. But there's not only that, but there is a personal application. There is a personal application that we can look at each of these churches, even though these were actual churches, these were factual churches. Listen, they were churches during certain periods in church history, amen. But we can take these passage scripture dealing in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of these churches and use a personal application to each and every one of us, amen. Listen, like the church in Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus, they had left their first love. How many times, amen, during meetings that we've had here at Island Ford Baptist Church and revival meetings and camp meetings, God has dealt with us about our love to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we found a place on an altar and wept our way back, amen. We didn't lose that relationship, but that fellowship was not what it should be. And God dealt with us because our love was not what it used to be for Jesus Christ. Brother Josh, amen, no doubt you're still on your honeymoon, amen. But if we're not careful, we take our mate for granted. Amen. We don't open the door for her like we did when we was trying to impress her or her family. When we was courting, we ain't as sweet to our spouse. Come on now. If y'all say amen, I won't think you're guilty. If we're not careful, that love can wane. I mean it seriously, folks. I want y'all to pray that I'll be a better husband to my wife. Amen. I want you to pray that, listen, my love relationship to the Lord will grow sweeter and sweeter each day. I don't want to lose that first love. Hey, I don't want to become cold and lethargic on the things of God. I want to be fervent. I want to be hot for the Lord. Amen. Amen. So there is a personal and practical application. With the help of the Lord, that's kind of what I want to do tonight. With the help of the Lord. I don't plan to be before you long, but I say that to comfort you. But I really don't. I've got some thoughts jotted down here, and I trust the Lord will help us. I've always been an odd preacher, and I get it usually most time one message at a time. Amen? I don't ever come into a meeting or a weekend and say, I'm just going to deal with this. Amen. Hallelujah. I just have to seek the mind of the Lord because God knows much better what you need than what I think you need. Amen. And so as the Lord was just ministering to my heart this afternoon, we took a brief nap and got up and room was quiet. And that's not regular. Amen. When you're We stay with the boys in these motel rooms, amen. The girls get to stay in one room and we stay with the boys, amen. You talk about a ruckus sometimes, amen. It,
You got to get up, amen, if you're going to spend any time with the Lord, amen. Because once they get up, amen, all I hear is racket and chaos, amen. And so I was trying to get the mind of the Lord, whether God would have me to just extend again the gospel call or to preach something else. And God seemingly directed me to this passage of Scripture. And I trust God will help you today. Listen, I want to be a help to you. God's men want to be a help to you. Any preacher that's worth his salt, it doesn't matter what you think of him or their mannerisms, they want to be a help to the people of God. Amen? I want to talk to you with the help of the Lord. If you'll look in verse number 19 of our text, he said, I know thy works and thy charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. I want to talk to you on a simple thought. Things that God knows. Things that God knows. Well, you say, Brother Rose, God knows everything. I understand that. But there are some things that are a blessing to my heart that He knows about. Amen? Amen. And I want to point them out to you tonight. I'm trying to magnify from the Scriptures the omniscience of God. When we talk about the attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ, we understand that He is all-knowing. That's just a $10 word, that the omniscience of God is that He is all-knowing. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? God is all-knowing. Amen. The Bible says that the eyes, Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. If you want to look over in Psalm 139, keep your place here in Revelation, but look in Psalm 139, and it magnifies the omniscience of God. The Bible says, Psalm 139, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Now we can hide our thoughts from one another. I really believe in this day and age of internet pornography. Now I know I'm very ignorant, amen. It took me probably, I don't know how long it took me this afternoon from the wireless connection, amen, on a computer to hook up to WSOF. I'm not trying to be an ignoramus, amen, but I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. I'm very ignorant about a lot of things with technology, amen. But I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. If we're not careful, we'll get snared by the devil with our thoughts. You men know good and well, amen, if you're looking up guns, if you're looking up bows, if you're looking up stuff about hunting, listen, that internet, it keys in on that and knows it's a man, amen, and he'll try to put, listen, that wicked devil will try to put something filthy out there, and if you're not careful, you listen, God knows about your thoughts. Amen. That's exactly right, buddy. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people probably in our churches, listen, their thoughts are not on the things of God. And you can love the Lord, and if you're not careful, your thoughts will be straying. God knows your thought afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Verse number 4, He's not only acquainted with our thoughts and our ways, but He's acquainted with our words. Amen. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Right. What about those sharp words we use with our mate? Amen. When I first got married, I didn't know how to be a husband and still don't. But I'm going to tell you, friend, I thought my wife, Brother Steve, could do everything I did. I said, praise God, we're in the ministry, let's go, amen, hallelujah. And here she was, we wasn't married long, and God began giving us children, amen. I said, praise God, God's called me to preach, let's go, amen, hallelujah. I had a lot to learn and still do. And my words many times, and still is, Sister Rose, is not pleasing to the Lord. How I dress my maid, how I dress my children, amen. Listen, I'm ashamed sometimes that I have a sharp tongue. You say, Brother Rose, you're not afraid to preach, are you, amen? But a lot of times, amen, if we're not careful, our tongue's full of venom. God's acquainted with every word you speak. Don't you realize that every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give an account on the day of judgment. We use our tongues. Brother Josh was talking about that this morning in Sunday school. To rail on one another. Talk about... Why don't we use those tongues to praise the Lord? Why don't we use those tongues to sing His praises? Why don't we use those tongues, amen, hallelujah, to uplift our brother, edify, that means build up, amen, hallelujah. Hey, may God help us that our tongues would be used to magnify the Lord, amen. Amen. Should we have an altar call right now? What verse you got for an invitation? Amen. I've heard of couples, amen, that they said they never had an ill will or an ill word with one another. Well, the mate didn't talk too much. If you talk enough, you'll get in trouble.
That's right. Amen.
Cell phone. Text messages, emails, tweets or whatever y'all are doing. We'll find, we got a whole lot to talk about. And God's keeping a record of it all. I'm talking about an all-knowing God. The Bible says, amen, there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before. Thou hast laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high I cannot attain unto it. So the psalmist realizes, God, You know everything. You know everything about me. And then at the end, in the latter part of this portion of Scripture, he says, God put the searchlight on me. Verse 23, search me, O God, an all-knowing God that's omniscient. Search me, O God. Know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. My, we would have revival if we'd do that. The Bible tells us, amen, that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I know the reins to try a man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God tries the heart, friend. So the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Things that God knows. First of all, in Revelation 2:19, the Bible tells us that He knows our works. He mentions it here in the Word of God twice. Now, if He said it one time, it's important, but He is magnifying this that He knows our works. I know thy works. And charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works. The last to be more than the first. Hey, seven times in the letters to his seven representative churches in Revelation 2 and 3, amen, the Lord Jesus says, I know thy works. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 2, verse number 9, verse number 13, verse number 19, chapter number 3, verse number 1, verse number 8, verse number 15, I know thy works, amen. God knows what we do for Him. God knows whatever we are doing or not doing. Yes, sir. He's taking account. I'm saying the judgment has been dumbed down today that there is no fear for the believer to face judgment. But I'm going to tell you, friend, hey, we're going to face God one day with what we do. Yes, He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. Yes, He dealt with my sin. But we're going to give an account what we've done this by since we've been saved. So it's made out, just live however you want to. We're saved by grace. I said there a couple of weeks ago, amen, we ain't saved by grace, we're saved by grace. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, friend, hey, I'm going to give an account, dear brother, of the things I do in this body since I've been saved, or what I don't do that God's told me to do. You're going to give an account. Listen, you're not going to have an excuse in a church like this where the Word of God is preached, the Word of God is taught. You're going to give an account of what you've done with this Bible. I know thy works. I know thy works. We're going to be judged according to our works. He said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, hey, we're going to give an account. God is going to try our work by fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And when He puts the fire test to it, it's either going to be refined or it is going to be burned up. So what we do for Christ, what we do with the right motive, amen. Sometimes preachers can do things with the wrong motive. I could go to a meeting, amen, and preach so preachers could have me in to preach. I wonder how much that's went on.
Yes, sir.
Brother Hall said years ago, and I took it as a compliment, and he meant it that way. He said, Brother Rose, don't preach just to preach again.
Right. Amen.
And I don't.
Amen.
I preach God's message if people like it or if they don't like it. Amen.
Amen.
Right. And a lot of times in this generation, it's the latter. But God knows our works. So young men, Brother Josh, are there any other preachers in the building besides Pastor Shepherd? Your brother? We're going to give an account of our preaching.
Right.
We're going to stand up there. We're going to give an account how we treated the flock of God.
Yes, sir.
Did we love them? Did we tell them the truth?
Right.
Did we stand for righteousness?
Yes, sir.
Did we compromise?
Right.
You say, you ain't going to give an account of all that. I'm going to tell you, every one of us that are saved one day, as the Bible says, we're going to give an account of the things done in this body, whether it be good or bad.
That's right.
It's just what it says. Well, I don't think you ought to fear the judgment. Paul did.
Yes.
Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade. He wasn't talking about sinners. In context, it's talking about judgment.
Right, exactly.
Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. When we ourselves are made manifest unto God, and trust also are made manifest in your consciences.
Amen.
The old timers preach, you better get ready for judgment.
Yes, sir.
Saints of God, we've got to get ready for judgment. We're all judgment bound creatures.
Yes, sir.
The lost are going to the great white throne. Saved are going to the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
And we're going to get to stand there and give an account of our works.
Right.
Thank God everybody saved is in the book of life.
Amen.
Lamb's book of life. That's not what's troubling me, dear Brother Vincent. That book of works and deeds is what's troubling me. Amen? What have I done for Christ that's going to count? Did I sing for the Lord?
Right.
You know, I could try to be a professional.
Yeah.
Amen. And buddy, I tell you, anybody that's ever heard me sing knows I preached any. If I did have a singing voice, I done preached it away, amen, years ago. Somebody said, I wish Brother Rose could sing. I said, I wish he could too, amen. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, what do we do? Do we do it for the glory of God? I'm going to give an account of that one day. Hey! And you say, don't matter how you live. It seems to me it does. Because you know what? That judgment's going to determine your place, son, in the millennial reign. That's where it's going to count. And you could, if you don't serve the Lord, you could suffer loss for 1,000 years.
That's right.
Tears are not wiped away after the great white throne judgment.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, you could suffer low. It don't matter how I live. It don't matter how I dress. It don't matter how I act. It don't matter how where I go to. It does matter.
Right.
Let me show you a scripture. Prove what I'm saying. You know, many times the old timers I'm not throwing off, but you just have to take their word for it. Amen. But I'll show you from the Bible what I'm talking about. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5 and verse number 24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. We suffer with Him, we're going to reign with Him, friend.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, I told the men last night, if you're going to be a godly man, if you're going to stand for Christ, if you're going to have a family that exemplifies a Christian family, you're going to suffer from family, friends, the world, church folks sometimes.
Right.
If you'll suffer with Him, you can reign with Him.
Amen.
That judgment seat, dear brother, is going to determine how your position is going to be during the millennial kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Whether you're going to reign with Him or be ruled over.
Right.
We sing a song sometimes I testified about last week. Everybody will be happy over there. I said after the judgments, everybody will be happy.
Right.
We got to face judgment.
Right.
Son, I'm going to judgment. I'm going to give an account of this weekend of preaching to you young men.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Serious thing, buddy.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give an account. God knows my word. We need in this generation, if we're going to have revival, one thing among many, we need people to be reminded we're going to face judgment.
That's right.
With what we're going to do. Used to be that preachers, during a revival effort somewhere, would preach on the return of the Lord and the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you, such knowledge can bring, or at least should bring, a great consternation. But I tell you, I thank God. Listen to me a moment. I may mention this again if I don't forget it. I'm glad, on the other hand, God's taking account, Brother Joshua, everything I do. When I've given tithes and offerings and to missions and faith promise mission, and God lays on my heart, I know a brother's having a hard time, and I go and palm him some money, amen. I've not robbed after God, amen. But I'm trying to be a blessing, trying to be a help, trying to be an encouragement, trying to give an encouragement. Hey, you may never get to stand up. You may never get a plaque. You may never, well, you can't put no plaques on this. Amen. Maybe back here or something. Amen. You know, like they have plaques on pew. I'm not throwing off. Come on now. You may never get recognized, but God takes note of that.
That's right.
There's sometime you'll sense your pastor will be down. Sister Shepherd will be down. You can give her an encouraging word. They may not stand up and recognize you up here, but God's taking note of that. Amen. When the man of God needs somebody to stand with him, amen. Hallelujah. You need to stand by the man of God, amen. Whether it's right or not, Brother Steve, years ago, we was having a little bit of problems at Emmaus Baptist Church when I went there years ago. And whether it was zeal, ignorance, or whatever it was, I said, who you want me to visit with a ball bat? It may have been ignorant, but I was standing with the man of God. Amen. The chips were down, buddy. I was going to stand with the preacher. I know they said years ago, well, Rose and some of them, if they had to, they'd walk on the edge of the roof, amen, and jump off the steeple. Brother Hawkins wanted them to, amen. But I was standing with the preacher.
Amen.
I'd stand with the man of God. Amen. God takes account of what we do. Amen. Nobody may know it. Nobody may see it. But God's keeping the record. God's a writing all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. We're not saved by our works. We dealt with that this morning. But I'm going to tell you, friend, we need to be careful to maintain good works. Because we're going to give an account for work. It's what the Bible says, our work. Our life's whole body of work since we've been saved. God not only knows our works, but I'm glad for this. It may not seem like you're glad about it, amen, but He knows our hypocrisies. Amen. You said, I've never been that way. Everybody's looking real innocent right now. But he talked about the church there in, is it Sardis there in chapter number 3 and verse number 1? And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. I don't have time to deal with that. And the seven stars, I know thy works. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. He knows about our hypocrisies, amen. He knows about us at our best, and He knows about us at our worst. Come on now. You ain't fooling me, amen. You ain't spiritual all the time. And neither am I. I'm glad His grace and His love is not necessarily regulated on my performance. I'm glad my salvation's not regulated on my performance. Because sometimes, Brother Josh, I'm not doing too well as a Christian. Do you know you can be saved and not be a Christian? Not be Christ-like? Sometimes our attitude is not Christ-like. You ain't going to believe this, amen, as sweet as I am as a preacher, amen. But sometimes my preaching is not Christ-like. There's been times, amen, my wife said, and she's not throwing off, she's not a mouth, amen. I'm not saying that. But she said, I can be talking about the political realm and the spiritual realm and the church realm. She said, you're one of the only people I know that can get yourself mad. I start talking before I know it. I'm all in a dither. There's been times, amen, maybe my attitude's not been quite right. We justify it, but we're hypocritical about that. You know, did you know we can justify our sin? I had a right to tell her off, amen. I've been waiting. I've had that pin up a long time, and I finally told my wife off, amen. And I had a right to do it. You know, can I say this? And I'm not saying we have always, but here's a good rule of thumb. And I want to be more like this, Sister Rose. If you have a disagreement among your spouses, amen, don't do that at church. May God help me. I'm seriously saying this. May God help me. I don't want to make my wife look bad.
Right. Amen.
I don't believe she wants me to look bad.
Right.
If you have a disagreement, then work it out at home.
Right. Amen.
Work it out in private.
Right.
I'm not talking about a bunch of hypocrisy, amen, that you're hiding everything, amen. But listen, don't be fighting in front of your kids.
Amen.
Fussing each other out. Yep. Your kids pick up on that.
Yep.
I've had to apologize I don't know how many times to my children, amen, for my rotten attitude. God not only knows about our works, He knows about our hypocrisy. Thou hast a name that thou livest, but thou art dead.
Yep.
Amen. If we're not careful, amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we can come in with a fuse lit in the house of God. Amen. We're a super duper Roman candle firework. Yeah, we're a firework, all right, amen. You're TNT at the house. God, amen, hallelujah. We could have an altar call at each of these points.
That's right, amen.
Amen. God knows all about our hypocrisies. Thou hast a name that thou livest, but thou art dead.
Yep.
He knows about that, Brother Vincent. He knows about it. I'm glad He don't kick me out, Brother Steve,
amen,
on my performance. Yeah, I wouldn't have lasted too long. But thank God, hallelujah, I'm saved by the grace of God. But thank God when God deals with me about my fellowship, amen, I need to get right with God about that. I need to find a place. If we confess our sin, He's faithful. Many times, I'm not faithful. I'm not just. I know that. But He is.
Amen.
He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So if you got some hypocrisies, like many of us do many times, find a place of repentance.
Amen.
Amen. He knows our hypocrisies. Listen to this. He also knows when our outward display of religious activity masks a real heart attitude of compromising self-interest. But we sometimes as preachers want everybody to think we're so smart, amen. I know that sentence ain't original with me, so I'll just go ahead and tell you. Most preachers won't tell you that. Amen. Let me read it again. He also knows when our outward display of religious activity masks a real heart attitude of compromising self-interests. Amen. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Notice what he said, I would that thou were cold or hot. God would rather us be, I believe, refreshing, cold, hot, zealous, but He don't like lukewarm. I told him down at the camp here when I preached a few weeks ago, amen, you can take your iced coffee and keep it, amen. I'm not interested in your whipped cream on top, amen. Listen. Can you take, listen, I was taught that's for sissies. Amen. I like it good and popping hot. I've tried to cut back way back on my coffee consumption, amen. Seemed like it making my ticker hurt a little bit, amen, among probably other things about being 200 and none of your business. So we're trying to work on that, amen. But I like coffee that's hot and black, amen, hallelujah. Listen, friend, hey, I even like track stop coffee. There's one time that I didn't like it, amen. I mean, it was pure, I don't know what that was, lead, mercury, what it was, maybe diesel fuel. I said, amen, that was terrible. But listen, friend, He would rather you be cold, hot, but He don't like you being lukewarm. He said, I'll spew this whole Laodicean church age before Jesus comes back in Revelation 4. He's going to spew the remnant out of His mouth. Amen. Amen. He knows, number three, when our service is genuine and our testimony is God glorifying and faithful.
Amen.
He said there, I know thy labor and thy patience. I know thou hast holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Hallelujah. He knows when our service is genuine. Maybe nobody, like I said, maybe see it. Nobody recognizes it. Hey, somebody around here cleans the restrooms. Somebody around here vacuums the floor. I remember Brother Allen all the time. I seemed could never, I wasn't trying to, but I could never hide from Brother Sammy Allen at Faith Baptist Camp. I thought he would never learn my name. He knew me. He's known me since I was a kid, but he'd always say, "Come here, boy." And he'd say, "Go up there and get some fellas and you can, amen, hallelujah. I wanted to be a leader." He said, "Well, you can lead the vacuum army, amen." And we'd vacuum the tabernacle on into the morning, amen. Up and down them aisles of Faith Baptist. Hey, somebody, listen, somebody has to do that. Listen, God knows when your service for God's genuine. God knows about your testimony. God's taking account. God's taking account of what you folks do out in Kansas.
Amen.
He's not just taking note of what's going on here at Island Ford Baptist Church. He takes account, amen, of what you folks do in Kansas.
Amen.
He's taking account of what's going on up there in East Tennessee.
Right.
That's a blessing, buddy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. He knows if it's genuine. He said, you've held fast my name, you hast not denied my faith, and many of them, amen, had held fast even unto death.
That's right.
Some of them church periods of time, you know they were persecuted, buddy. And by the way, every church period is going to have persecution. This is one of the weak-kneed church periods I've ever seen in my life. You say, "I don't have no persecution." It's because you're so much like the world. When you dress like them, look like them, go to their places of worldly entertainment. I'm just going to say just me. I'm not interested in going to most places that people are going to. In fact, if you're going to be a Christian, there ain't much of this worldly entertainment you can be involved in. You can like it or lump it, amen. I've never been to Dollywood, and I don't feel that my kids have been held out on. I always thought Dolly Parton was a lewd woman. And I was taught to sit. Oh, amen. I want to be real sweet. To separate from that. Years ago, amen, we'd go to Six Flags. We'd leave Faith Baptist Camp, go to Six Flags. We quit that years ago, amen, because they put rock videos in every line. And Dad said, "That's it. We ain't coming back." And I'm not trying to be super spiritual, but I've never been back. Some people spend a lot of money on that stuff. Walt Disney World. Come on, I know this will get me in trouble, amen. And listen, they're supporting all kinds of sodomy. Amen. We eat that stuff up. I'm going to tell you, if you'll stand for God and hold fast. Hey, trying to encourage you tonight. Be steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, it'll be worth it, Pastor Shepherd. It'll be worth it, Brother Bill. It'll be worth it taking a stand for God. Hold fast His name. Don't deny faith. Amen. It'll be worth it. Amen.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
No, I'm not well known as an evangelist or a radio preacher. But I'm going to tell you one thing I have tried to do is hold the line.
Amen.
Amen. These boys, when they do mimic preaching, amen, they think there's one way to preach. Scream and make a maniac of yourself.
Amen.
You know why? Because that's what kind of preacher daddy is.
Amen.
Go crazy and berserk. I've kind of been like a berserker over the years, amen. I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. We're going to hold the line, God being our helper.
Amen.
It'll be worth it on down the line.
Amen.
Hold fast that testimony, dear saint of God. Hallelujah. He knows, Revelation 2:19, He knows when we really love Him. He knows that. Revelation 2:19, He says there, I know thy works and thy and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, thy charity. Of these seven testimonies of His knowledge, the central one is our text, Revelation 2:19. The charity mentioned is nothing less than agape, or, listen to this, unselfish love. Unselfish. Unselfish love. He knows when we really love Him. Remember what He said to Peter? Peter, do you love me? Oh, I love you, Lord. Do you really love me, Peter? Well, you know I love you. And John 21, do you love me more than these? I don't know, and we probably won't know all the reason. Listen, we're critical of the disciples, amen. And here we are with the King James Bible, and we still doubt Him.
Right.
66 books of completed Scripture.
Right.
They didn't have none of that.
Right.
They didn't know how it's all going to turn out.
Right.
And Peter said, I go fishing. And a bunch of others said, I go with you, amen.
Yeah.
You quit now, amen, and get out of the way. You might lead some others out of the way.
Right.
Do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know all things. Thou knowest I love you. And He talked about feeding His sheep,
amen,
feeding His lambs.
Right.
Do we really love Him?
Amen.
God knows those that really love Him.
Amen.
God knows your sacrifice.
Yes, sir.
Amen. God's taking account of that, sister.
Amen. Amen.
God knows when we really love Him. He's taking account of our charity. It's all going to come up.
Amen.
There ain't nothing that's going to be unnoticed one day at judgment.
Right.
All the things we didn't know about, Brother Steve, we thought we knew about, and all the sacrifices that took place from people in this church at Island Ford, it's all going to be revealed.
Amen.
And I'm afraid, amen, I'll be way back. It's probably true, Brother John. I'll be way back in the line, dear brother. And there'll probably be some of y'all way at the front. I've been in the limelight. And some of you will be getting up there and you didn't have the limelight and you never stood on the podium, but you were serving the Lord and God
Amen.
Knew your love for Him.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Good. Yes, sir.
God's people's most precious people in the world. You're going to find out one day if you know the Lord's Son. Maybe God will have you in the ministry or something. Amen. You're going to find out the best people in the world is God's people.
Amen.
There ain't no better people in the world.
That's right.
There's people love God. And they may not say much, but they love the Lord with all their heart. And God knows about that.
Amen.
How can people go through the anguish? How can the Voles family, their heart has been dashed and probably crushed? God is using it just like that pestle. God's using that pestle, amen, and crushing that up in the bottom of that bowl and crushing that fragrance together to make a holy anointing oil, amen, that the fragrance will fill the whole, this whole community, this whole country, amen.
Amen.
There's people who love God and I've never understood it. Why is bad things happen to good people? God knows your love.
Amen.
Right.
And sometimes, Brother Bell, God can't use us the way that we are.
Yes, sir.
I didn't understand over 4 years ago all I wanted to do, and I'm not trying to be hurtful to nobody. I wanted to migrate to a church.
Yes.
I'm not going to go into that. And I didn't understand a lot of things. And you say you understand it by and by. I still don't understand it. And my life was in an upheaval. And my life was in turmoil. And I said, God, my kids don't even believe Daddy knows what He's doing. That's trying to find the will of God.
Right.
And I sold everything. Did I not sell everything out from under us? And I said, surely God opened the door now. I sold our house out from under us. My wife did not understand that. And I said, surely God opened the door. Well, He didn't.
Right.
And I didn't have nowhere to go. But there's times that we don't do everything right.
Amen.
There's people, amen, see, we're get judgmental and critical, but God knows that they love God.
Amen.
I come crawling back to Kingsport. I said, Mama, she didn't understand. She just had to trust her man. I said, I've got a job there. I believe I can get a house there. And we're going to join a local church there.
Right.
And I'm not going to go all into it with my parents. They're getting up in years. Mom's got a lot of issues. So God's probably got us there to help. And we're trying to work through it. I don't understand a lot, Mama. But I know if we'll love Jesus, it'll turn out right.
Amen.
And I don't understand kids. Well, sometimes I'm not trying to put you on the spot. But I don't understand kids sometimes when you don't respond and you don't get right with God. But I'm just going to keep loving the Lord. It doesn't matter. I'm going to keep loving Jesus. I'm going to keep showing you the way. And God's taking note of all that.
Amen.
He knows when we really love Him.
That's right.
Yeah. There's people in this church that really love the Lord. God's taking account of that. He knows about our sincere service, true faith in His Word, as well as our patience of hope. He knows about that. I brought out that scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 5, but he said, likewise also the good works. The good works are going to come out. Not just the good, the bad, but the good works are going to come out in that day. The good works. Number 5, I know thy tribulation and poverty. See, I know that. It's like I said, why in the world does tragic things come to people that's, as far as we know, and we have no reason to doubt, they're trying to serve the Lord.
Right.
I can't imagine what Brother Keith and his wife and family are going through. I can't imagine. And the next time I may see you, tragedy may hit your home.
Right.
And it may hit my home.
Right.
And we may all be weeping about, God forbid, wayward kids. And sympathizing with one another.
Right.
But God knows all about our tribulation.
Yes,
patience.
Amen.
Does Jesus care?
Yes,
He cares.
Yep.
Oh, yes, He cares. He takes note. He cares for us. He loves us. He doesn't desire to do anything to hurt you, even in chastening, He's trying to help you.
That's right. Amen.
He cares about His friend. There's some things that God knows out of Revelation. I'm glad He does.
Amen.
He knows all about it, son. He knows about it. He knows me at my best. He knows me at my worst.
Yes, sir.
But He'll tell you, it's a great consolation. He knows everything.
Amen.
I'm so glad that He loves us and cares for us. And one day we're going over yonder and we're going to see Him. We're going to face Him at the judgment. But thank God, hallelujah, when He purifies that church and on into eternity, amen, we're going to be rejoicing and basking in the sunlight of His love.
Amen.
I preached about Him, did a sorry job. I've tried to sing about Him. My voice is cracked. I've not hit every note right. But one day I'm going to see Him.
Amen.
And And I'm going to praise Him with perfect praise. You think that I know you folks from Kansas, amen. I know I act kind of strange and stuff like that. You say, well, you wouldn't work. Well, I wouldn't work a lot of places.
Yeah.
Somebody said, Brother Rose, we think about having you to California. I said, I don't think I'd work in California.
Yeah.
Amen. But I tell you one thing, friend. One day I'll praise Him with a perfect praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we'll understand more about it by and by. Pastor, if you don't mind, I have liberty, maybe a verse of invitation. Somebody might need to pray. Brother Bale, does Jesus care? Do y'all sing that here? Amen. Maybe you need to come and pray tonight. Talk to the Lord. I'm glad He knows all about it, friend. Stand to our feet. You may have burdens on your heart, things you don't understand. I'm glad God takes note of all of that. He understands. Appreciate you, young men. That's right. Get down and pray. But maybe she strikes a note on this piano. Maybe you need to come. Find your way to an old-fashioned altar and realize that Jesus cares for you. Maybe you're not saved. I'm going to tell you, He knows that. You know He knows them that are His. He knows them that are His. Let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He knows those that are saved tonight, and He knows those that are lost tonight among this congregation. If you're not saved, amen, there's a merciful Savior. His name is the Lord Jesus. He died in your place, and you can come to Him and find redemption by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you come? Maybe there's more saints that need to come. Appreciate these young people. I love you, young people, amen. I've watched some of you grow up over the years. I thank God for it. You're still in the house of God. You're in a good place to find your place at an old-fashioned altar. Talk to Jesus.